Welcome to The Debrief with Dave O'Neill, and this is a podcast where I interview comedy legends, and I've got, probably the most regular person on this podcast, Brad Oakes.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You probably think I've sunk money into this.
Yeah, you've invested. I've got to have you on at least three times a year because of your, you gave me $500 once. Yeah. You and Nick Capra must be.
I'm from like Dr. Edelston.
You've got bad investment plans. anyway, we're going... What are we doing? Oh, we're doing a cricket... I'm doing two... Are they cricket clubs?
Oh, no. Well, I'm doing a cricket club. I'm going to Ainslie Park cricket club.
Which is... I've never heard... I mean, that's in Croydon, which... Mm. I grew up in the next suburb, but I've never heard of Ainslie Park.
Well, I know, but I've always seen this... I've seen this turn-off sign always. You know, you go down here to Ainslie Park. And I always made the connection because Ainslie Gotto was... Jim Cairns's secretary.
Yes, I remember her.
Yeah, that he had an affair.
Yes, famous, yeah.
Yeah, Ainslie Gotto. And so, you know, because I associate things because I have that kind of mind.
You have that mind.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, but you're also going to Up Way Way.
Up Way.
Yeah. Well, up way way, as they say.
I'm doing Up Way first, then Ainslie Park.
Yes, and I'm just doing the one because I'm old. not as popular.
I'm quite happy to drive between the two. But some of those comics do two or three gigs in a night, mate. Sometimes two.
Yeah.
Not very often three.
Not me. I mean, I have to go to the toilet too much. I'm old.
Yeah, same here. I was just telling Brad, I had my sleep study last night where if you're snoring or got sleep apnea, well, as the doc said to me, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your wife. I'm like, nah, I didn't. My snoring doesn't wake me up.
No, well, it doesn't. And you know what I found also, too, is that when I had a test done elsewhere, was because I've had a few sleep tests, right?
Yeah, and this is where you have to stay overnight with stuff, electrodes put on you.
Yeah. Basically, they monitor your sleeping.
Yeah.
Because sleep apnea, it translates, it's Greek, ancient Greek, I think, apnea, stop breathing, or stop air, right? Yeah. And what happens is, so it's not so much the snoring is a sign of it, but it's actually the problem is that while you're asleep, you just don't have any breath.
Oh, there's no breath, yeah, right, so you go...
And what that happens with that is that leads to a buildup of carbon dioxide in your body, and that's what's very bad for you.
It's unhealthy, yeah.
Yeah, because once you're not getting oxygen, you're just recycling.
Oh.
And so you get a saturation.
Here, my partner is I don't do the thing. You know.
You don't restart breathing.
No, I just snore really badly, apparently.
Well, because the classic thing is, for chronic sufferers, of which I am one, the chronic sufferer will go, they'll stop breathing, and I'll stop breathing, sometimes we're up to a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And then what happens is your brain has a fail-safe in it that monitors how much carbon dioxide you have in your body and in your bloodstream. And if it gets to a certain level, your brain says rounds, and that's why you come out of sleep.
Right. And so do they give you a CPAC thing, or do they call it the?
Well, they sold me one. I've had a couple. Yeah.
And they good?
Well, yeah, they work. There's problems with it because it's an intrusive thing. Like, they're much better than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, that little Darth Vader thing, yeah.
Like, 20 years ago, it was like, one of those old diving suits, you know?
Now it's just like a tube you put around your nose, don't you, kind of thing?
Well, I have a face mask.
Yeah.
I did that joke. You remember?
Oh, I love your joke about the snoring.
About the snoring,
I told that on my other podcast with Glenn. Don't worry, I said, I couldn't quite remember, but I said... You snored so badly that a lion came out of the wardrobe and said, "Hey, mate, keep it down."
You've ruined a very good joke there. What I said was that my girlfriend at the time, she said, "Look, the wardrobe's moved," and I said, "You've moved the wardrobe, to accentuate that, my snoring, it's vibration.
Right, okay, yeah.
And she goes, no, well, the lion from Narnia came out and moved the wardrobes and nobody could sleep in Narnia. And that's brilliant, brilliant piece.
Well, it's a great joke.
Well, you know, it's just...
But I think there's only certain... I was telling my son that joke and he goes, is that like a joke for geeks? I said, no, it's a joke for... people that have read The Lion, The Witch and the Wardrobe, which is most people from our generation.
It was on TV the other night.
Yeah, it's a great...
Chronicles of Narnia.
You know, it's a thing, it's a Jesus. The Lion's Jesus.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote it's a Christian. Well, C.S. Yeah. Lewis. I think it was it a man or a woman? No,
it's a man, isn't it?
It's a man. I think it's a man. Yeah.
But there's so many Jesus. Like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is a Jesus one.
No.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
He's Jesus.
Oh, he's Jesus.
Yeah, Red Wing Murphy is Jesus.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I can't remember a crucifixion in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No, but the chief smothers him.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Who's chief then? Is he Judas?
Well, I don't know if he's Judas or whether or not he represents Pontius Pilate or he represents the people.
Right.
Right? But, I don't know. Because I think what it is it too, that in fact it probably does mirror the story, because McMurphy goes away for treatment and comes back and he's zonked.
Yeah.
And then the chief kills him
after that. Yeah.
So that's probably the resurrection.
And then the chief chucks a water fountain through the window?
Yeah, picks up the water. Yeah, well, because I read it in high school.
Oh, really? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah.
I just did I Am David, that's all I can remember.
Oh, that was weird.
I Am David, the Holocaust.
Well, no, we didn't have that. No, I went to school before the Holocaust, Dave.
That's right, you're old.
No, it was, we had Bless the Beast of Children, and that was another Jesus story.
Right.
And
you were doing a government school too.
I know.
Well, I know. We did Lord of the Flies. That was a good one.
Well, we did Lord of the Flies year 11, I think.
Love Lord of the Flies.
Kill the Beast.
1984. We did that. I think we did Animal Farm too. I think we did a bit of George Orwell.
Yeah, we did Orwell. And
that's my son's reading. Like in his year 10, they got a Tim Winton book.
Yeah.
I said, oh, he's a legend, that guy, he's a great... I was like, oh, yeah, does he just write these sorts of books? I'm like, no.
Yeah,
like a legend, mate. It's Tim Winton, all right?
Well, we had...
he wants to save a reef in Western Australia.
We had The Man Who Loved Children, which was Christina Steed, I think.
Oh, yeah,
And that was...
I've read one of her books.
Yeah, well, you know, that was... Yeah, no, they're all Jesus books.
We're talking Jesus books here on The Deep Prayer.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're going to go do this gig. I'm going to do two.
Yeah.
Fred's hosting one. And then we'll get back in the car.
Yeah.
And we would have done the gig.
Yeah, it was where I'm hosting for you and Chris Franklin, the bloke.
Well, let's hope he doesn't do an hour and a half before me.
Who else are you working with in that
Russell Wiggington.
Right.
Oh, my God. Is there some kind of traffic accident up here? Wiggy is the guy who he does jokes about being a teacher at Broadmeadows High, and then someone filmed it and put it on YouTube, and he was the assistant principal, so he got in trouble. I'll have to see if he's still doing those gags. All right, there's some kind of traffic incident up here. What's happened?
Oh, no, someone's parked their bloody arrow again.
Yeah, that big arrow.
Why would you park your arrow there?
Oh, seriously. All right, keep listening to The Debrief. We will return.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch.
Yes, welcome back to The Debrief, and we've just done Ainslie Park Cricket Club, which was a triumph, Brad.
They were charming people, weren't they? They were so nice, and they were into it from the get-go.
You were emceeing, you were smashing it.
I was seeing, well, it was a cricket club. And so in cricket parlance, I was seeing the ball like it was a bloody watermelon, Dave.
Well, cricket clubs can be sometimes a bit harder than footy clubs because they're a bit more disparate, I reckon.
Well, they are. And I'd say that the one thing that we didn't actually notice about that was that that had a full turnout.
Yeah, very big crowd.
You know, and I suppose it's because cricket clubs can be, they're smaller than footy
they
clubs.
They are.
So that if they don't have a good turnout, it can be really quite empty.
Yeah, but, you know? There was a lot of, there was like kids, not kids, but teenagers there, weren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
It was everything from teenagers to Derek.
Derek.
He was the star of my set because he was sitting down the front, surrounded by empty chairs, and it was packed gig.
Yeah.
And he would have been 80.
He was a curmudgeon.
And he was the legend of the club. And they had, behind us on stage, they had all the life members. And, of course, he was up there in...
Photos of the life members.
Yeah, 1988 in his orange suit.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, he looked older.
He looked older in 1988 than he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a Vietnam veteran, because I talk about my dad being a vet.
Yep. And I think that possibly they brought him back to life.
Oh, how funny was it, though, when at the end you had to do a raffle for a Rebel sports voucher for $100?
Yes.
And you said, oh, that'll be good for if there's a one-legged man here to buy one runner. And they're all like, there is. Steady on.
Yeah. Like I should have known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on the ball, too.
Well, he was the one who first brought, yeah. But, you know, I think that's what he's the club guardian. You know, right. he knows all the danger talk.
Oh, God.
But, you know, like, you expect, maybe if you went to, like, a one-legged man club.
Yeah, you know, you would expect or that. You're doing war veterans. You know, you'd avoid one-legged jokes because it'd be...
Yeah, you know, or, yeah, the Rabbit Trap Association or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, and particularly in a cricket club where you just go, well, you know, he's not going to be very good at cricket, is he?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Well, I did another gig before. I did Upway.
Yes.
Tacoma, which is further up into the Dandenongs.
Yes, up the mountain country.
And they were a good crowd. They weren't as packed in as that one. But there was a guy who was yelling out stuff. Oh, I talked to him. He's a cop. He's a cop. And then they all went, well, you used to be a cop. And this guy said, yeah, I used to be a cop. And I said, he was a younger guy. I said, what, so you're not a cop anymore? And all the crowd goes, ooh. And I said, oh, something happened, didn't it? They're all like, yeah. And I said, what happened? He goes, oh, I bashed an old bloke. Christ.
Yeah.
He goes, Google it when you get home. So.
I think I know who he is then, yeah.
Not Derek. He didn't bash Derek.
No. you're saying there was no remorse, was there?
No.
So, you know, it sounded like it was his way out of the cops.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. He said, it was in The Age. You can look it up.
I'm surprised he didn't carry a cuffing.
Yeah, you know, claim to fame.
Yeah. I'll get my scrapbook from the car.
That and the other highlight of that gig was that they had George from the local pizza shop. He's a sponsor, Upway Pizza. And I said, does anyone here work at the pizza shop? And he goes, yeah, my driver's over there. I said, which one? Of course, it's a fat kid.
Oh, no.
I said, George, I think I can see where the profits are going.
Well, that's... That reminds me of a certain somebody who was selling hot dogs once in their life.
Yeah, me.
Yes.
And the guy accused me of stealing rolls. I still got an electro hot dog shop on Turak Road. Well, you probably used to go.
I might have been there. I know I went to
And Mr. Squeeze. Shop. Mr. Squeeze and the shawarma shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy accused me, Dudley Kane, the owner, who used to arrive in his Jaguar with the rolls in his boot every day. He accused me of stealing the rolls and selling them to an opposition shop.
Yeah.
When in fact I was just eating them. Disposing them of the only way I could think of.
That's all in your book. Is that available?
Anyway. It's in my book, yeah, I think it is in my book. The Great Hot Dog Shop.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Anyway, it was a good gig. And when you do gigs like that, it makes it easy, doesn't it?
You know, well that's what they said to me. They said this was an easy gig for you, and I said, you know, it's not an easy gig so much as it's an enjoyable gig.
Yeah, mate, your phone's ringing.
Is it me?
It's not me. My phone comes through my car. You've got the landline in here. You can answer it.
I'm a talker.
Oh, it's Evo. Okay. He organised the gig. Evan Hocking.
Oh, Brad has said
hello. mate, you'd do anything to get on the podcast, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You're on the debrief, Evo.
You're on the debrief, Evo.
Oh, it's great to be. How was it? I'm just finding out. I'm trying to debrief you guys.
No, it was great. It was great.
That was awesome.
Really good.
Awesome.
How was Upway Tacoma?
Yeah, good.
Did the cop guy yell out, the ex-cop yell out a lot?
Oh, yeah. No, he was going to fight Franklin, yeah.
Was he?
He wasn't too bad. He settled down. He was stretching up at one stage to rip into him, but it was all a bit of theatre.
Yeah, he kept going, I love you, Dave, I love you. And then he'd yell out more stuff. I'm like, oh.
Well, that's the same.
Weird way of showing your love.
That was the same with the other guy that Dave was...
Derek.
Derek. He was annoying him. Freeway closed. Well, that's handy.
The freeway's closed. Well, Derek, and he spelled his name a very unusual way. D-E-R-R-I-C-K. And then he said, I was named after a crane.
Well, that's what a crane. That's another word for a crane, yeah, Derek. Right.
I was only for a crane.
Yeah.
Just be Dick.
Yeah, no. Well,
just Dick.
Yeah, hang on, Evo. Wait, sorry. I've just got to straighten this out. Yeah, it's...
Finish that and call us back.
We'll call you back, Evo.
Good on you,
mate. See ya.
On the podcast, The Debrief with Dave O'Neill and Brad Oakes.
And Evo.
Did Franklin sell any stubby holders?
Stubby holders? I think he sold a couple.
Yeah.
All right, well... Yeah. Might be McDonald's for you then.
Could get something. So looking forward to it. But no, thanks again, boys.
All right, I'll speak to you.
All right, mate.
All right.
See you,
boys.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. He's going back there anyway.
He's going back there to pick up the PA.
Yeah. He just wanted to be on the debrief.
The debrief. Well, the debrief's taken a detour because the freeway's closed.
That's
Now we're driving through Eastland Shopping Centre.
It's like Paul Vale, Criminal Law. That was funny when you said, I didn't know that they had accommodation at Eastland.
Yeah, they have accommodation at Eastland.
Crikey.
I think your mic's rubbing on the seatbelt. Hang on. Oh, that's better. Can you hold it? If there's an accident, don't. Well, yeah, there's accommodation at Eastland Shopping Centre now.
That's, oh.
I think it's
mine. That just says 24/7 advice.
Yeah, for what?
Yeah, exactly. I can't get my tomatoes to grow red. Oh, well, you know what you're doing wrong there.
The thing is about Eastland is that, you can stay there now, so you can have your honeymoon at Eastland. And what about when I said there's a accommodation at Eastland, and this guy goes, yeah, it's a nice hotel.
Oh, no. Oh, geez.
Do you work there, mate, or what? Yeah. I reckon that's one of the best cricket clubs I've done, though, that one.
I'd agree. I think they're an absolute delight, and... you know, because there is a thing that they're smaller as a rule, and also too that I think that people who live that far out of town all want to live that far out of town.
Yeah.
You know, this bloke said to me, he goes, "Where do you live?" And I said, "I live down in Albert Park." I don't know how you do it, mate, in the city. I don't know.
Well, they probably. I mean, we're talking about the Croydon area, which is out of eastern Melbourne, so. To get into the city and commute it would take about an hour, I reckon, wouldn't it? To get from Croydon, you go on the eastern, but...
Well, depending on whether or not the freeway's open.
Yeah, well, the freeway's closed at the moment. Oh, well, I grew up, the next suburb, and so two suburbs away, so...
Yet you've people never love heard it. Of Ainslie Park.
Never heard of Ainslie Park. It's an invented suburb.
Did you ask them... I heard you ask them if it was a suburb and...
They went, no, it's not.
It's not?
It's not. But, Derek started to look like he was going to, punch me up for saying that it wasn't a proper place because he had the red and orange tracksuit on.
Well, I think orange because he had his orange suit on in his life member photo,
and that's why, because he was loyal to the cricket club. I can remember doing footy clubs and God. Cricket clubs. And they were really bad. I remember doing footy clubs and that in the early 90s, they were rough.
Oh, yeah,
nowadays have changed a lot. There's like often they used to be just blokes. Remember, they used to be all men?
Well, yeah, they were. We see a lot of netball teams have combined. But also, I think a lot of teams haven't survived. And I also think, too, that we've been a little bit more discerning about where we are.
Ah, true.
You know, like, you remember you ran that gig out in South Morang?
Yeah.
And some spin-offs from that were brutal.
Oh, there was. We did the Epping Hotel. Did you do the Epping Hotel?
Oh, I did the Epping Hotel.
Oh, yeah. God.
You know, and they're a bit different now too. Like there's places in, places on the way to Geelong that you would go to now.
Yes. Oh my God, Ringwood has not changed. There's gangs of men walking around the streets.
looking for a barbershop. Look at their haircuts.
Look at their haircuts. This is the famous clock tower, Brad, of Ringwood, yes, where my grade four teacher, when he went crazy, he said there were men up there trying to shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
And there, where the railway station, there used to be a great 24-flavour ice cream shop.
Yeah, well, just down here, there used to be, a little bit further down here, there used to be an ice skating rink.
Oh, yeah, Iceland.
Yeah.
And also here, which is still there, there's a music shop.
Yeah.
And they used to have the classic one-day sale. Oh, yeah, it's still there. It's called Five Star Music.
Is that in your book as well?
Yeah, we waited overnight lining up. and then with these guys from a Kiss cover band, who were really good guys, us and, you know, the Kiss cover band, Destroyer they might have been, and then all these guys, and that's the old Juice nightclub on the right there, which is the Rivers now. I think that's... I never went to Juice. I was too old for one. Anyway, and then...
Didn't you geek there?
I never gigged at Juice. The Dakota Bar I gigged at, which is further up the road. You know that one? Which is rough as.
Dakota Bar, and there was the construction zone.
I think that's the same one.
And I did Juice.
You did Juice? You did comedy at Juice?
Yeah, I did Juice.
Never did comedy at Juice.
The Croydon Hotel?
Yeah, I did the Croydon.
And that was one you missed out when you were doing a gig there. You didn't mention Daisies.
Oh, I didn't mention Daisy's.
Which is the Dorset, I think.
Yeah, no. Daisy's is still there. It's on the corner of near Ringwood Lake.
Right. There's the Coach. They've done that.
Coach and Horses. My parents go there still. They love it.
They've done that up, though.
The Bistro, yeah. You know who owns that pub?
No.
Collingwood Football Club.
Really?
All right, a bit of useless information.
They do not tell me. The freeway's still shut.
They're still closed. This is where Iceland was around here.
Yeah.
I remember they used to have bands. AC/DC played there, the Angels. Yeah. I still remember being on the ice skating, and a Sharpie walking across in his moccasin hitting someone.
Well, I couldn't ice skate, but I could actually play pinball and run across the carpet in my ice skates.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I could balance, but not on ice.
Well, I talked about roller skating because there were people from Muralbark there tonight, which is used to be the home of the Muralbark roller skating. I can't remember what it was called. There was a Nutterwadding Skate Ranch, and then there was a Muralbark one.
Skate Ranch.
But see, Skate Ranch. Roller skating was easier than ice skating.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you didn't have anywhere near the falling over.
No.
You know, and, because I remember a girl named Claudia Tokoloff took me out. Ooh. I was about 13 or 14. I was probably about 14. Took me out in the middle of the ice skating rink in... Iceland, Ringwood, and she said, "Oh, you'll be safe out here," and just left me there.
Really?
Yeah, I ended up crawling back on my hands and knees.
My daughter went ice skating. One of her friends, she's 12, and they have a thing called the penguin or something, and you can follow it around and hang on to it now. So it's like a learner kind of.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's been all these concessions in things with, like bowling.
Yeah.
They have those things that they put in the gutters now.
Yeah.
Where you can't.
That boy's had them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used to be for people who found it very difficult to bowl.
Well, Brad, this is an extra treat. We're driving through Mitcham.
I know.
Where I grew up, and you also had a period of your life here.
Yes.
I think our statues are over there on the left.
Well, that's the Mitcham Hotel where I've also gigged.
Yes, I've gigged there. The great late Dave Grant used to run a gig there. That's where he said to me just before I went on, because my parents were there with some friends, he said, "Mate, because the previous gig there, I died in the arse. Terrible.
Mm.
And my car broke down on the way home. It was terrible. And I was giving Peter Fox a lift home. Remember Peter Fox?
Oh, I remember Peter Fox. Really high.
Yeah. Anyway, just before I went on stage, Dave said, "Mate, do well tonight. You don't want to die in front of your parents." But that used to have a place in the 80s called Bunny's Bistro.
Yeah.
And they used to have a guy in a rabbit suit waving at the cars until he got bashed by some youth. Yeah.
Well, you know, I went to Target in Camberwell.
Yeah, that's still there, that Target.
Yeah, well, I went there and one of the bosses came up to me one day. It was Easter time and he goes, "Oaksy, you know what you have to do? You have to wear the bunny suit."
Oh.
I said, "I will quit." Before I put that bunny suit on, because I said to him, "I have to go to school in this area."
Yeah.
You know, if anybody cottons on that it's me, cottons on. Hey.
Cottons on.
I'm a natural. If anybody cottons on that it's me, I said, I just have to move.
Have you ever been inside a suit? surely for a comedy show, like the comedy company, or do you ever get inside?
Oh, yeah, I did. And also, I did that. I think I told you this story. I did the, I did a celebrity boxing match at Daimaru at the Melbourne Centre.
Daimaru.
Yeah, where they,
No, you told us about the opening of this great Sphinx Hotel.
No, but this one was, where it was a benefit for the Smith family, I think.
Oh.
And myself and Haskell Daniels, who's another
great comic.
Yeah, and another large fellow.
Mm.
Well, we were there. They had like two cricketers, two models, two actors.
And two comedians.
Two comedians, two netballers, two basketballers, all lined up to have these boxing matches in these. They were kind of like sumo suits.
Oh, sumo suits, yeah, right.
But they had a boxing ring, and they had like. So we had the sumo suits, and we had these enormous boxing gloves. And Haskell, who fancied himself as a bit of a. Because he was really into boxing. He knew a bit about boxing. Never had a fight in his life.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was like 1,000 people gathered around all the different levels to watch the boxing match. And they said, we'll get the comedians to go first. No one knew who we were.
No.
And so I held the rope up for him to get in the ring. And he said, thank you. And as he got in the ring, I punched him in the head. And he got so angry that he couldn't fight me. And it was just hysterical.
What?
Yeah, because we were both in these enormous suits, and at one stage he came at me, flailing at me, and you know, it didn't hurt or anything like that. It was a giant kind of inflatable suit.
Yeah.
But I punched him, and he fell down, and he bounced out of the ring and onto the floor, and like the entire shopping centre was in hysterics, right? But it ruined it, because all the other boxing matches were just no good.
Not as good as that. Yeah. Should have put the comics on last.
Well, but
Haskell Daniels, he used to do a lot of voices and stuff. He used to do that rage.
It was a great sound effect.
Yeah, man. Amazing.
But he
I remember he was on a plane with Eric Banner.
He was so
they were on tour, weird. And he was a very big guy. And he started choking on a chicken wing, and they nearly had to land the plane.
Right, yeah. Well, he's to inhale chicken.
Oh, he used to love chicken, didn't he?
He did love chicken.
But he lost a lot of weight.
And he put it back on, then he... Anyway.
Hopefully the freeway's open this way.
Well, it says light.
Oh, yeah, very light, because it's closed. Yeah.
It's remarkable. There's no traffic.
Anyway, you listen to the debrief. We've had a triumphant Saturday night in Melbourne.
Yeah, that was my first major gig back for the year. Like, major.
Yeah, right.
And
good way to return.
Nice, very nice.
Very nice. Okay, so, we'll be back. We'll be back.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.
Okay, you're back on the debrief. Brett Oakes, regular contributor and financer of the debrief podcast. We're looking for any money too. We don't have Patreon, but you just send random cash in the mail.
Yeah, just
and enjoy the podcast. Now,
tell us where it's hidden.
Now, the questions you've done before. What went well tonight, Brad, and why?
What went well? Well, the show went very well, and I think one of the reasons why was that when we asked for everybody to be seated, they were all seated.
Yeah, there was some standing around, but I'll tell you what, it was pretty good for.
But in terms of people being ready for the show, it makes such a difference when people are eager for the show, don't you think?
Yeah, I reckon. You know? And also they had rows of seats.
Yeah.
As opposed to the round tables where people have their back to you and stuff.
Because what often happens is people who don't really get comedy are forced to sit near the front.
Yeah, all the smart ones sit at the back.
Yeah, so I thought that in itself worked really well. You know, if hooking the guy, set the gig up, set, you know, the stage up well and everything like that.
Yeah, so perfect.
It was all a perfect storm.
What didn't go well?
Well, I can't press the finger of anything that didn't go well, did
it? Well, when you brought up the one-legged man and...
Well, that still went
pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like... Yeah,
well, I brought up Derek and I said, were you in Vietnam? And he's like, yeah. And everyone goes, ooh. It's all right.
Oh, yeah.
And what he said to me, I was there defending the country for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a look at right at the start.
Well, you were at home, he said. You were at home and I was over there. I said, well, I was five. Yeah. You come and fight, Derek.
But right at the start, like, when after you dropped me there and I started the show, this guy heckled me. And it went on, like, it was like he was reading, like, you know, terrorists, when they read a list of demands?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, I'm finally, I said, man, I don't have to stop you there. I can't respond to your paragraph, to your essay. Just yell out one thing and I'll do that. But people shouldn't yell out anyway.
With any organisational hazards got in the way?
No,
there was, you know what was funny when I was on? Someone used the dryer.
Yeah, that's okay,
it was in a quiet bit of my set. Then he was the old hand dryer in the bathroom.
The old dancing. You know what that reminded me of though was when we used to do comedy at the Botanical Hotel.
Yeah.
Which was very upmarket back 28 years ago.
Man, it was a good gig, but if you died, you died.
Well, Anthony Morgan, he said there was a lot of rich kids who went to this gig.
Yes.
He said they didn't heckle you. They didn't like you. They just ordered a daiquiri.
And of course, I don't know who else also said about the last laugh where we used to both perform at Smith Street, Collingwood. You knew you were going bad when you could hear the tram going around the corner.
Exactly.
Ding, ding. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. It's even worse when you're, like, doing a gig 5 miles away and you can hear that tram.
Oh, the tram.
Yeah, really going bad. But no, overall, like, I can't stress enough how little went wrong with that gig.
Yeah, and how can we do better next time?
Oh, I just ask for more money.
Yeah. We were great last time.
Yeah.
We just need a little bit extra.
Well, they did ask me if I'd come back.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, they said, could you bring our stuff back? But I took it.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Brad, again.
Thank you very much.
And Brad is performing with me during the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the Grandview Hotel.
With Des Dowling.
And Des Dowling, and special surprise guest, which I haven't booked him yet, but there's lots of people.
Yeah, basically, we're picking him up from the airport.
Yeah. Like, Hughesy said he'll do it.
Oh, my, you know.
Anyway, it's at the Grandview, so it's actually a great night. It's different from a lot of comedy festival shows in that you get at least four or five comics for the price of one, and you can have dinner there, and it's a great pub.
It's over a 2 hour show, isn't it?
Yeah, it starts at 8 and it'll go for at least 2 or 3 hours. So it's an old fashioned, comedy night in a pub.
And yeah, it's something, then if you live over near St Kilda Junction, somebody can drop me home.
Yeah, so drop Brad. But it is in Fairfield, so it's easy to park. You get none of the hassles. There's a train station up the road.
But yeah, so we'll have guests that'll be our mates, you know.
Jerry Seinfeld, I don't know, Chris Rock, some people like that, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe Bill Cosby. It'll be out of the pressure of the city.
Right. It'll just be nice and laid back and good fun. So that's Friday and Saturday nights, and over Easter it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The bookings will start soon. You'll see it. You'll hear about it. You'll hear about it. It'll be in the guide and everything.
Yeah, I'll be flying.
Yeah. Fairfield Station.
Yeah, I'll be the town crier in Fairfield.
What a great job I got there.
I was happy for it, mate.
Alright, see you again. Bye-bye.
Did we do a song?
No, we can't play a song at the moment. We've got to pay the royalties or something.
Oh, okay.
What song would you like to play?
Something from Captain Kogo.
You
must have a...
We don't play Captain Kogo.
You must have the rights for that.
Yeah, well, probably, I think.
Well, yeah, okay, Coco's. So to get around the problems of royalties, then, what I would have liked would have been King of the Mountain.
We played that before. We've played that before.
Have we?
Yes, definitely. When we drove to bloody Bright together, we played the Oils, I'm sure.
No, I don't...
Call me.
I really thought we did Paul Kelly then.
Oh, hang on.
Well, anyway...
Anyway, Oils.
Yeah, so all people should do is now is stop listening and go and put on an Oils song.
Yeah, yeah.
Aha, see, we got around it.
Bravo.